How do we do that? Next slide. Isaiah 58. God explains fasting. God explains social compassion. And God says this will impact our worldview. How? Because we learn how to have compassion like Jesus, which is reflecting God's love. Now, look up. What was Christ's most frequent emotion? When we read the Gospels, and I have the New Testament right here, there are 89 chapters in the Gospel. So when we read those 89 chapters and find out what Jesus was like, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, John have 89 chapters. As you read it, you find out all about Jesus, what he did. There are, by the way, the 89 chapters record 250 events. Isn't that interesting? If you add up all the different events from, you know, blind Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the first communion, the triumphal entry, those are all events. There are only 250 events in the life of Christ. All of those events, there are only 52 days of his life chronicled in all the Gospels. But when you read the Gospels, if you look at his emotions, do you know what his most frequent emotion was? Compassion. The Greek word, it's the word splanchnoi, which means right here in your stomach. It's a visceral term. It means deep-seated feeling. Okay, back to your slide. Compassion is when we, like Jesus, reflect God's love. And God speaks about how he wants us to reflect that love in Isaiah 58. And what we're going to do is, look here, I have pages right out of my Bible because I want to show you how, as I studied this passage with you, it just touched my heart what the Lord talked about. It says, it is a fast I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul, to bow down his head, to spread out sackcloth. Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? And then, right here, verse 6. This, now God describes what biblical fasting means to him. Biblical fasting involves me having God's heart to see wickedness not prevailing in my life and the life of those around me. For me to see heavy burdens that people are carrying around undone from their lives, to see people oppressed by all kinds of oppressions to be liberated, the yoke, the bondage to be broken. So that's all of this is about bondage broken to all kinds of things. Think about it. Sexual bondage, fear bondage, you know, bad habits, broken emotions, all kinds of stuff. Verse 7. To share your bread with the hungry. God says, now wait a minute, look up. All of us experience this. We're driving along, and all of a sudden, we'll work for food. Out of work, please give. And you know, you see some of those signs, and they're all so nicely lettered, and you drive far enough, you see they all look alike, that slowly we get desensitized to all these people, homeless, poor, out of work, whatever they are, that are holding up those little signs. Now, thankfully, part of God's plan for me is I married someone that has such a tender heart, Bonnie Marie. She can't go by any of them. In fact, Bonnie secretly is collecting dollar bills and gets gospel tracts and gets them together. And if we're anywhere near in the car, the edge, she'll say, honey, can you? And I go, I'm going to. I know what you're thinking. And she'll get her window down. And as soon as we get up there, she'll say, I'm giving you this in Jesus' name. There's some money short term, but the Bible, the gospel tract will impact you forever. Why does she do that? Because her heart reflects Christ's compassion. Her heart deeply feels for people that are in bondage. Look back at the slide. Do you think about sharing your bread with the hungry? Do you ever bring into your house the poor that are cast out, the homeless housed? Did you know my parents, when I grew up, I can't believe it. We lived in a house so small that all three of us kids lived in one room, and it wasn't much more than about this size, and they had a trundle bed. You know what a trundle bed is? A trundle bed is, it was a top bunk where my sisters were, where my oldest sister was, and then a little mattress pulled out, and then below that, in a drawer, and then the bottom drawer pulled out, and that was my mattress. And in a space from here to here, there were three little tiny mattresses, and we just all trundled in our little beds in one room. And my parents had the other room, and there was a bathroom right there, and the dining room, living room was right there, and that was the whole house. Do you know who my parents would always invite over? When we would go to the rescue mission, which we went once a week and ministered, you know, we would wash the dishes or serve the meals or whatever they needed, because my parents wanted to help in our town and express Christ's love. If there was someone, the mission director said, well, you know, Merle has graduated from the program, doesn't have anywhere to go. My dad would say, oh, we'll take him. I was just a little guy. I'd go, where will he stay? Did you know many times I slept on the floor and snoring in my drawer was some guy from the rescue mission? Or missionaries would come to our church. And my parents, when they said the missionary needs a place to stay, I mean, I think my mom's arm was on the way up before they even finished the question. And who slept on the floor? And who slept in my bed? Look back at the slide. Do you have a desire to bring into your house those who are needy? Do you want to clothe those who don't have food and raiment, and not hide yourself from those that are humans, that are needy?